This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I love being an entrepreneur, and I hope that everybody in their life gets a chance to have the freedom to be an entrepreneur, because we all have to work, of course, unless you've got a trust fund, but there is something about the freedom of being an entrepreneur, working for yourself, and solving problems. There's a certain joy to it. So welcome to Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Check out entrepreneur.com and our Facebook and all that kind of fun stuff. I am Alan Taylor. First guest today is a guy that had so much impact on me. We both share the name Alan. So, of course, everything he did on television, on my favorite TV show as a young guy growing up, MASH, Hawkeye, Alan Alda, everything he did, I watched, I loved, I laughed, I loved his snarky way, his amazing intelligence. He's won many awards. He's an author, and he has a brand new book coming out on June 6th. He'll be in the June issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, which is coming out in just a short order here. And he's won so many awards for doing so many things, but he's one of these guys that so many of us baby boomers especially have grown up on watching him do his thing. And his new book is going to help, I hope, going to help all of us. It is called If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? And I love this. Alan Alda, welcome to Entrepreneur Radio.
Thank you very much. Hi, Alan.
So first of all, this is your adventures in, and I'm reading this, so we're gonna depart all this written stuff and just have a fun chat. But your adventures in art and science of relating and communicating, which, my gosh, just with the name of your book and the first line here, I was looking at who my guest would be today, and I said, you know, that is so important, communication, and there's such a disconnect in that, and even between, you know, male and female, young and old, old and young, because we all speak different kinds of languages. And the beauty of radio is that you listen, and I think that listening first is the most important thing. But I'd love to hear your take on your new book.
I agree with you. Listening is tremendously important. It's almost more important when you're speaking than when you're listening. Mm. Because when you're talking, if you don't know what the other person is thinking while you're talking to them, or if you don't have a pretty good estimation of what they're thinking, they could be not getting what you're saying or getting it the wrong way or totally misunderstanding it, and it makes a big difference. So you got to be. That's why the title of the book is what it is. It's not just a joke. It's if you were watching my face when we're face to face and you're communicating with me, you'd be able to see whether I'm getting it or
right.
how interested I am. Maybe you started too far in, or maybe you didn't start with something that has to do with what I'm really interested in and that kind of thing.
No, I
and
agree.
It does come from how I started to work with scientists to help make their work clear and vivid to the rest of us. And then I realized it really applies to everybody. So I talk about how it applies in business and parent-children relationships, doctors. You know, it's so important. If we don't understand what the doctor is telling us, we're liable not to take the doctor's advice, and that could be very dangerous to us.
I totally agree. And entrepreneurs, I think so many of us, we get on this roll and we get so excited and so ambitious. And my nephew right now, he's an amazing filmmaker, and his ideas are like a fire hose. You know, they're coming out of his brain, and he's trying to tell everybody his ideas. And the problem is he's so busy spewing all the fire hose of thoughts and ideas that he doesn't realize that people are putting their arms and hands up going, whoa, whoa, slow down. And he doesn't even hear it because he's...
I'd say, you know, that's a good image. We have to remember that if we want somebody to understand this, we have to change from being a fire hose to a drinking fountain.
Right.
Got to make it so that they can take a drink. Otherwise, forget it.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting.
You mentioned entrepreneurs. This thing has grown so rapidly that I've become an entrepreneur too. I just started a company.
Yay! Let's talk about it on the other side. I have a little break going to run us over here. Right. That way we can talk about the new entrepreneur, Alan Alda. And we're glad to have him in the June issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, his new book coming out June 6th. And it is called If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? I know that for me, this is a very important interview. I hope it is for everybody else, too, because learning how to listen is something we all need. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Radio.
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And special guest today, Alan Alda, best-selling author, award-winning actor, writer, director, founder of the Alan Alda Center of Communicating Science at Stony Brook University. And he says, I am a new entrepreneur. I love it. I want to hear about this.
Well, the work of the Alda Center for Communicating Science, which is a nonprofit, was getting so extensive, and we needed more capital to expand and move across the world, and we're already across the country. We've done hundreds of workshops in universities across the country. So to get that capital, I started a profit-making company called the Alda Communication Company, which is the Alda Communication Training Company, which is the acronym is ACT. But although it's a profit-making company, it's on the Paul Newman model. The profits go to the nonprofit Center for Communicating Science. So it's and what we do is we do almost the same training in communication, but tailored to corporations. For instance, our first project is Women in Business, and we're doing workshops in companies that want to help the women, both executives and people ready to move into the C-suite, to have the skills to navigate the waters where there are so many barriers to women. It's still still amazing, but it's still common for women to be interrupted at meetings more than men. Mm. Even on the Supreme Court, there was just a study done. The women on the Supreme Court are interrupted by men more than other men. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
So women, that's a small thing that women have to work on to cope with, having their ideas taken, not being passed over for promotions, things, being able to be ambitious but not seem to some people as a witch.
It's a cultural thing. I think maybe
The trouble is we can't change the culture. That my company can't change the culture.
Right.
But while the culture is being changed, and until it is changed, we can give them tools to work around it.
So on this vein, it seems to me like, you know, and for me, my focus is entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs, people that want to, you know, make the jump, become an entrepreneur. So what you're saying is, you know, and I think that it's clear from the very beginning, listening, there's an old saying, and I think you'll love this. You have two ears and one mouth. Use them in those proportions. Right?
Yeah, I've heard that. That's a good one. I like that.
And I've always said that to my children. I said, stop talking. Just listen for a minute. And it's so hard to teach people this. And I think, you know, the further up the chain of life we go, the more that our pride and our ego and our will get in the way of allowing us to listen. And so I think that it's important to teach these skills, whether it be through, you know, deep thought, meditation, whatever you want to call it, to slow down just a little bit in life.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing, to put it in a nutshell, one of the things that we found is that while you're using your mouth, you have to use your ears.
Yeah.
Or your mouth is not going to work so well. You've got to really sense the other person out, and that what that really means is empathy. You got to know what they're feeling, and what scientists call theory of mind. You got to know what they're thinking, as much as it's possible to know. You can't know completely.
Right.
You can't read their minds telepathically, but you get so many signals out of their body language and their tone of voice. And if we don't pick up on them, we're not going to communicate very well. And I know from my own life experience, and I think everybody has this experience, we leave a meeting with somebody and we think, I saw their reaction and I paid no attention to it, and I wasted precious time. I could have picked up on their on what I saw them going through, and I didn't do it. And if you train yourself, you can do it much more quickly, right in the moment.
And what I've had to learn how to do as an interviewer is learn how to listen and not be so jumpy at the questioning and all that. And I appreciate you being with us. Hang with us. We'll do one more little break. Come back and see if we can't put the professor's cap on and let you teach the science and the essence of good communicating. More of that. I know that for 20 years I drove 700 miles each way to do my radio show once a week so that I could look at the face of the person I was interviewing. So I agree with you 100%. We're talking with Alan Alda. This is Entrepreneur Radio.
This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
A guy who was greatly influenced by Alan Alda, who is our guest, best-selling author, award-winning actor, writer, director, founder of the Alan Alda Center for Communicating Science at Stony Brook University. He's got a brand new book coming out from Random House. The title is wonderful. I love it. If I understood you, would I have this look on my face? Applies to business, family, life. It is the essence of good communicating. And having a great time. Okay, we're going to put your professor's cap on.
Yeah,
You know, we've already been teaching and just by having this wonderful conversation. But for entrepreneurs, and I think that I'll just start out by saying the importance of communication may be the very first step. What do you think, Alan?
I think so. I think it's the first step and all the steps in between.
Yeah.
One of the things you have to do when you're an entrepreneur is figure out what your goal is, what your mission is. And when somebody says, what's your mission statement, it's not that easy to put in a nutshell what your goal is or what your vision is. And the thing that matters most is not what you have to say, but what the person looking at it is going to get out of it. How are they going to understand what you're up to? And will that make them want to invest in you or buy your product and that kind of thing? The guy who started a lot of studies in emotional intelligence was Daniel Goleman, who said a very interesting thing about selling, which I think is at the heart of a lot of communication problems. I mean, we have to sell each other and families on where we're going to go on a family vacation. It's not just selling razor blades. It's all of life is a little bit of getting the other person to see things from your point of view.
Right.
But actually, the reverse is what's important. When you're selling something, Goldman said, it's important to know what the customer needs. Maybe not even that they may not even realize that they need it, but to figure out what the customer really needs for their well-being and to be proactive, to be assertive about helping them get what they need, which is so different from what I thought selling was when I was a kid, because I had been sold badly many times, and I thought selling was somebody convincing me to fork over my money so they could take the money and they'd give me whatever they had to give me to make it worthwhile to take my money.
Right.
Which is that doesn't have to be the heart of, it's not the heart of successful selling. Successful selling is when everybody's happy and they come back again.
That's right. I was just explaining that to my nephew, the one that's the fire hose of great ideas, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this rainbow fire hose with every color and all these wonderful ideas. I said, at some point, we can't just create content endlessly that nobody wants. There's got to be somebody that says, I would like something like this. And you can't then just shoot them in the face with your fire hose of ideas. You have to dissect what they need and then create something beautiful out of what their needs are. So listening is the first part.
I agree. And the thing is, you do have a responsibility to offer them something that they, especially in entertainment, you can't simply give them, or news. I think that's another thing. You can't just give them what they want to hear. You got to tell them what is in their interest to hear.
I love it.
That means in entertainment, you don't have to tell them junky old jokes. You can tell them a story that has meaning. But when you do that, you still have to make sure that they're going to want to hear it.
That's exactly right. Well, and all right. So I love it. I love it. I love it. This is so simple, and I want everybody to make sure that June 6th, if you want to check out his book, it'll be available Amazon, all over the place, all over the web. It is called If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? And again, it applies to business, family, life, the essence of good communicating. And Alan Alda, now it's time. I just want a couple from the world of Alan Alda. Your favorite movie, television show, project you've done in your career. What is it?
Well, I'll never stop being proud of MASH. That was a phenomenal moment in my life.
I'll bet.
And all the people who were connected with it, we were just very lucky to be thrown together. But now, toward the other end of my life, about a year ago, I did a web series with Louis C.K. called Horace and Pete. And I just had such a wonderful time doing it. And when I watched it and I saw his brilliant writing and some of the performances in that, everybody's wonderful. Some of them are extraordinary. That I'm just very proud of being in it. And it was a wonderful experience.
I love it.
And it's different from anything else I've ever been part of.
Well, it is Horace and Pete. That's homework for everybody, Horace and Pete. The June issue of Entrepreneur Magazine will have a feature on Alan Alda. June 6th, he will have his book out, and maybe we can have you back on once I get a copy in my hands.
That would be great. Then we could both listen to each other.
Exactly.
It would be total dead air.
Alan Alda, you mean so much to so many people for so many silly reasons, but today it's serious, it's good stuff. Thank you once again for touching my life and so many on our radio show today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll take another break and more of the brand new Entrepreneur Radio right here all across America. I'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Radio. So I command you to panoramic view. Look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose.
Is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I love Alan Alda. What a cool dude that guy is. That's one of my dreams right there, was to meet that guy, just so you know. So the fact that I am rolling now with Entrepreneur Magazine and Entrepreneur on newsstands everywhere, entrepreneur.com, the Facebook, all the social media, Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur. I got to tell you, man, it's so important. And what I was talking about there with Alan Alda was, you know, so many people, we forget the simple things like communicating and listening. Like I said to him, two ears, one mouth, use them in those proportions. This is simple stuff, but we forget this stuff, Jason.
Yeah, you sure do. And you know what's really interesting is you forget it even if you know it really well.
I know.
We got another story in the June issue, actually, where we talked to this venture capitalist who just caught the entrepreneurial bug and you decided, you know what, I don't want to be an inventor. I want to start my own company and then go find other investors to go invest. And he ran into problems in communicating that he saw when people pitched him. Mm. You know, it's so funny. Like, he would sit there as an investor and he would be thinking about this entrepreneur who's pitching him. He'd be like, just get to the point. Why are you spending an hour telling me all this boring stuff? Just tell me the magic. And then as soon as the table was turned and he was pitching investors, he did the same thing. He went on for an hour. You could see their eyes glazing over. You know, the problem is that you get so excited about your business that you want to say everything, and you just don't realize how to communicate that important part.
Totally. And I was talking to Alan Alda about my nephew. Same thing. Like a fire hose of great ideas. The problem is he's not asking, what do you need? He's telling you what all his great ideas are. And you know what? That can actually be dangerous to an entrepreneur. Yeah. Is when you start telling them what you think they should do without first saying, so tell me what you want to do.
That's right.
Yep.
Because entrepreneurism is problem solving.
Yep.
So you got to understand the problem. You got to understand how to solve that problem. Not throwing out a million ideas, right? You have to be able to communicate, what can I do for you? And if you can nail that, you know, if you can make sure that the person you're talking to feels that you really get them and you really get what they need, they're excited, you know, and they're invested in your success because your success is their success.
So Entrepreneur Magazine is more than just a magazine. I mean, is it really a big media company? And I'll be in New York next week for the new fronts. I mean, of course, the videos and, you know, online and social media. Maybe you can talk to that for a second, how much you guys are just killing it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's an exciting time to be here. I mean, listen, first of all, let's just start with the name. I was saying earlier, right? We're sitting on the hottest word in culture right now. It's no better time to be a brand called Entrepreneur. And people always ask me, you know, you're running a legacy media product, right? I mean, it's a print magazine. That's how it started 40 years ago. How do you innovate like that? How do you innovate on something that you know, you need to be rethinking the way that we always say entrepreneurs need to be rethinking, constantly thinking, constantly living in what Reid Hoffman calls permanent beta, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're never one thing. You're always reinventing. So we're trying to be everywhere. We're being everywhere that entrepreneurs are, because people get their information on the go. They get it so fast. And and I think that they want to hear it in different ways, right? You want personalities like you, Alan, right?
Yeah.
People who you can connect to, that you can feel like you really embrace them, you know, you share their vision. So, yeah, we got this website where we have a huge contributor network of entrepreneurs who are writing about the things that they've learned. We've got the video network, which is really exciting. All sorts of new shows, constantly adding new stuff. We're launching a podcast network. We're getting out there with events. We're doing partnerships. It's really, really awesome, and I think that everywhere that entrepreneurs are is where we need to be.
I love it, and I love the fact that even this crazy fun show that my buddy Scott Duffy and I, the show that we started with Microsoft, Business and Burgers, and you guys went, hey, that you guys are part of our tribe.
Yeah.
Join us.
That's right.
Hell yes. So, yes, check out Business and Burgers.
It's a great idea for a show.
That's right.
Yeah, can't wait.
On Facebook for Entrepreneur and at entrepreneur.com. All right, so next we're going to talk with Thomas Butler. He is from Lenovo. They're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the ThinkPad, of which I happen to have. So, you know, this show is all about what it takes to be an entrepreneur, and that's why it's called Entrepreneur. Jason Pfeiffer, thank you, brother.
Hey, I'll talk to you again soon.
That's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more business talk on Entrepreneur Radio.
Listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, it's funny. I was at a conference in Florida the other day, and I get to interview a gentleman from Lenovo. Turns out that I'm friends with his uncle. Talk about 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. I love bacon, by the way. It has nothing to do with Kevin Bacon. Anyway, Tom Butler, he is the director of North American Commercial Portfolio and Alliances for Lenovo. And Lenovo celebrating 25 years of the ThinkPad. And guess what, everybody? I happen to have a ThinkPad. Love my ThinkPad. And let's just talk for a second. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan.
So here's the question for you, first of all. Lenovo. Tell the elevator pitch on Lenovo. Where did Lenovo come from? 25 years is a long time, by the way. Didn't it used to be IBM?
Well, there you go. Yeah, so actually, starting back in 2005, interesting side note, I was interviewing with IBM at the time, and they called me up and they said, hey, we're still interested in you, but we're now a new company called Lenovo. And of course, I was like, who's Lenovo? So it turns out that there was a computer company based out of China, Legend Computer Holdings, that acquired the IBM PC division. And so that was the ThinkPad brand, the ThinkCenter brands, really the mainstay for PCs in market. And they became or formed a new company, Lenovo. Mm-hmm. So I came in and joined the company really at the beginnings of the company's origins. And from that point forward, we really kept and have been very much a steward of the brand, of the Think brand, and have progressed that product year over year, making refinements and changes to bring to market the best notebooks and desktops you can bring into the business.
Mm. Well, it's so interesting how you and I got to meet in Florida, and the fact is that your uncle is a friend of mine. I've worked with him for, 25 years at least in the auto industry, because a lot of people know that I'm a massive car guy. I work for Car and Driver and Motor Trend magazines for all these years, and now, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur, by the way. Always, since I was a little kid. I'm trying to think my first business of selling lemons off the lemon tree in our front yard, go knocking door to door. So I was 9 years old. So all my life, I always thought you had to be. I mean, it's the life I came from. My dad's an entrepreneur. You had to be an entrepreneur. What else is there? So to have got to meet you and have you have this massive job, and if the fact that your uncle is a friend of mine, it's like, just to me, it's so funny. And then I have a ThinkPad, and I happen to know that you're a car guy too. And then I made a statement, and I want to bring that statement forward, because so many people talk and relate things to cars because a car being a personal conveyance of who you are. I think a computer can be that way too, especially a laptop. You see different types of laptops people own, and it kind of says a little something about them. But I said something about Porsche, and all through the years since 1965, the 911, and all these years moving forward, they have just refined this car to where it is still the essence of what it is. It's only the best next version, and the next version will be better, and the next version will be better. But it's little refinements all the way. And then you looked at me almost like I had been in your guys' R&D department, because why, Tom?
Oh, yeah, well, that's exactly right. We actually draw from the 911 as one of our inspirations. We look at what Porsche's done, as you mentioned, from 1965 to today. They've made incremental changes to draw up a better product every year over year. And we've done the same thing with ThinkPad. I mean, that's really cool. We have one of the most recognizable brands in market. If you're walking through an airport, you look at devices, if you see a black notebook, that's going to be a ThinkPad, 9 times out of 10. It's a very recognizable, iconic design. It actually came from a Japanese bento box as the origin of design. So the black square, very, very efficient design in putting all the ingredients inside needed to drive the best performance, the best bang for the buck. And every year we're making very, very conscious incremental changes and improvements to the product, making sure we're bringing insightful but purposeful customer desired innovation. So it's the sum of the whole of all the parts and changes that we make that deliver the next generation ThinkPad.
Well, and you said it right there, customer desired. I mean, I think that if we forget what our customers want, and we start designing what we want in our products more than what our customers want and are asking for, then there's a disconnect. And I think as entrepreneurs, we must always consider the customer. The customer's first, the customer. And maybe they're not always right, but you have to kind of have that mentality of, well, that's what you're asking for. So let's see if we can't make the best that we can make for you. So now for a moment, let's talk about a issue that we actually talked about at the conference we were at together, which was that there's millions of people that have not upgraded to new gear. And at the end of the day, if you don't keep up with, upgrading your gear, you're sacrificing your quality, and also you're wasting your time, because your product is not actually helping you to be as efficient as you can be. Can you address that?
Sure, Alan. So that's part of what we do is we're constantly addressing the market needs and continuing to evolve our products. one of the big things that's occurred and you're seeing a big push for now is all around the push for security and more security. We've got a lot of our customers that are on a Windows 7 operating system, which is now almost 8 years old. And so if you think about when that OS was designed, a lot of the security, the cybercrime, and the threats that existed then, or rather exist now, were not even thought of at that point in time. So we, and you'll certainly hear this from Microsoft as well, are really encouraging, coaching, and pushing our customers to migrate across to Windows 10 operating system as the latest operating system that's going to bring with it a much more modern user experience, better performance, but also with a mind on security. And we have also, in turn, brought in some of the elements in our notebooks to address and also embrace some of the elements that Microsoft brings with their latest operating system.
It's really amazing the difference between 7 and 10 when it comes to Windows. And all I can say is that, you know, it's kind of mind-blowing. And it's mind-blowing how many numbers and of people have not, what is it, something like 6 million plus older computers that are still running on this that are really costing themselves. People that own these things are costing themselves inefficiency, which at some point in time, you are actually costing yourself money, folks. This is something that is so, it's so important to get this message out there. I mean, I got my new ThinkPad here. I don't know, it's been a couple, 3 or 4 months ago. I feel like I just got a brand new car that is like twice as fast, twice as efficient, and it's like night and day. I don't even know how to explain it better than that is, you know, night and day. And it just seems like, no, a computer is a computer to a lot of people. It ain't true, right?
Yeah, and in fact, you know, one of the challenges, and we certainly see this with our with entrepreneurs that are running, or you know, if you think about a startup or a small or medium business that's growing organically and rapidly, often you'll see that company may start with, you know, one person that grows to three, that grows to 12, et cetera, and the IT doesn't keep up necessarily with a rate and pace. And one of the most important things that these companies have is their intellectual property. And if they're victims of a cybercrime or a breach, then that can shut them down. They may have to restart. They may lose some of their material. So it's not only the loss of productivity, but it's also the security around what in essence is their company.
Well, you know, and I told you while we were together about how we had to literally start our whole website over. It was fortunately for us, we had just gotten going with our business and we got hacked. And I'm telling you what, security, we blew it. And so that's why I decided to upgrade all our gear. And I chose Lenovo, the ThinkPad. And folks, take that big 6, 7, 8 pound thing out of your backpack. Mine is less than 3 pounds. It makes a big difference. My shoulder feels better too. Tom Butler, you're the best, man. Thank you very much. It was great meeting you. Please say hi to Uncle John for me. And Entrepreneur Radio, man, we're killing it. We're going to have some fun right here every week across America. Don't forget, check out entrepreneur.com. I'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I do travel a lot, and I'm always using my computer in a wireless world. I mean, a lot of the workplace is working, you know, mobile computing, the workforce out there. And hackers are out there. They're out there. Cyber terrorism. Well, just so you know, there is a new episode of Breakthrough focusing on cyber terrorism. Airs Tuesday at 10, 9 central on National Geographic. One of the guys involved, Jason Street. He is an InfoSec Ranger at Pony Express. And I don't know what InfoSec, I think it has information and security, I'm sure. Jason, just for a moment, first of all, congratulations. And everybody, don't forget, this coming Tuesday, 10 p.m., 9 central on National Geographic, Cyber Terror on Breakthrough. Just make sure you watch it. But do me a favor, Jason. Talk about this whole, you know, the workforce and mobile computing and terrorizing, being our information being stolen from us. What should we do?
Well, I say, you know, the reason why, and I was just listening to the the piece about the Lenovo computers. And the reason why they're so popular even after, you know, 25 years is because of the fact that we are becoming more and more of a mobile world.
Right.
It's like where employers, entrepreneurs, they want to be able to have their data wherever they're at. And that's why the laptops are getting smaller, but they're getting more powerful. And the attackers, the criminals, they know that as well. So they're going, it's called like a waterhole attack. It's like where they're going where the data is. It's like where the data access is. So, you know, you go to that Starbucks, you go to the Panera Bread, you go to the Sky Lounge, and you have Wi-Fi. So you're doing your work, not realizing, and especially at hotels and conferences as well, attackers are creating malicious access points. There's a device that we show in the episode called a Wi-Fi Pineapple that's less than $100, and it mimics whatever access point your computer is looking for because your phone and your computer are always constantly searching out those free access points that it's had before. So it's beaconing out going, hey, Starbucks, is there Starbucks here? Is there an Oingo Boingo here? Is there a Hyatt hotel here? It's like, is there a free Wi-Fi that I've connected to? Is it here? And this malicious access point called the Pineapple, it actually goes and says, yes, I'm Starbucks. Yes, I'm Panera Bread. Yes, I'm Oingo Boingo. Yes, I'm public Wi-Fi. Connect to me. And then when that happens, now all the traffic that goes through your machine to wherever you're trying to go to will now go through that device and through the attacker's laptop. So I can change the data. So you think you're going to one site, like a banking website? But no, you're really going to my website first, where you have to put in your user ID and your password.
Oh.
And then I harvest those things. So I say for people, it's like if you want to protect yourself from those kind of attacks, and they are very common, it's like you have to get a virtual private network, a VPN service. I don't espouse like one specific one, but there are, you can do some searches for, you know, virtual private network services that will give you that secured connection from at least from where you're at in the Starbucks or the hotel and give you a encrypted connection, which means that no one can intercept that traffic that they see right there at the spot where the access point is.
Oh, God, I'm telling you what, this stuff is so scary, man. I'll tell you what we got to have to do. You know, I mean, you're going to have to be on more often, and you're going to have to help bring some of this stuff to the table for the entrepreneur world, for the anybody world, because this is serious stuff. And I just want you to know, I appreciate you coming on today, giving us a quick, you know, run through real quickly in 1 minute. Tell me about Breakthrough and what you guys are going to do in this Mission Impossible style show that you guys got going on. Real quick, 1 minute.
Okay. It's a really exciting episode. It goes through and it delves into how we actually attack and I rob a bank. It's like, basically I show that beyond technology controls, beyond the computer, sometimes you just have to bypass the human controls to get the access to the data. And I make that abundantly clear as I walk in and I plug in a USB drive that's malicious behind the teller line of a bank in Beirut, Lebanon, and compromise their entire network.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I'm glad to call you my friend, you Uber hacker, you. But you're a white guy, a white hacker. What do you call that? White hat? I don't know. What do they call this when you're the good guy?
Yeah. Well, they call it a white hat hacker and black hat hackers. But I break it down to this. It's like if you catch a banker who is doing embezzlement, they don't call him a black hat banker. They call him a criminal.
There you go.
So I believe it in the same way. So hackers are people that are working with these kind of tools. And the people, the criminals that use these same tools to do crime, they're not black hat hackers. They're criminals, and they should go to jail.
Exactly.
Period.
That's Jason Street. You can watch Breakthrough, focusing on cyber terror, airs Tuesday, 10, 9 Central on National Geographic. Thank you, Jason. Really appreciate it. Gosh, that's...
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's scary stuff, and that's what this show is all about. We're going to bring to the table all of the facts to help you to become a better entrepreneur. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There is more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages.